If your organization sees generative AI as a technology challenge, you're not alone. But in the enterprise, the leading cause of project failure, up to 70% of CRM deployments stall, for example, is poor user adoption. My name is Alexander Nevsky, and this is Innovation Tales.
Navigating change, one story at a time, we share insights from leaders tackling the challenges of today's digital world. Welcome to Innovation Tales, the podcast exploring the human side of digital transformation.
Gen AI headlines promise game-changing features, but real value still comes down to people on the ground choosing to work differently. Smart algorithms can't help if users won't adopt them, just like many past CRM rollouts that run over budget and fizzled on day two. Those flops weren't about bad software. They were about gaps between strategy, process, and personal motivation. Today's episode tackles that gap head-on. My guest, Ryan Polignac, is a seasoned sales professional with a rich background in the Microsoft Dynamics space. He's passionate about the future of AI, the cloud, and upgrading from legacy systems. His hard-won lessons will help you focus on what truly matters and win executive backing. Without further ado, here's my conversation with Ryan Polignac. Ryan, welcome to the show.
Hi, Alex. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you. You and I, we agreed to discuss the impact of artificial intelligence on business processes, but since we spent both a lot of time enabling clients on customer relationship management, I didn't want to miss the opportunity, so to say, to compare notes. So maybe to illustrate the recurrent transformational challenges, would you mind taking us through a particularly eventful CRM project?
Oh, absolutely, Alex. I've got a lot to pick from. One that comes to mind recently would be a big transformation from a well-known ERP, one of the big market players, right, that had been implemented and customized and ingrained in processes for the last 12 to 15 years. And when something like that happens, and as an organization grows and processes become entangled with technology and people become attached to their own processes, when it comes time to consider a replacement for something like that, it goes far beyond technology. It goes immediately into the realm of change management, which is helping people understand why the change is happening and how it's going to impact them and why the organization is making the move. And so in this particular case, there was an owner internally of that CRM. And there's even more of a personal attachment when somebody considers something to be their baby, so to speak. They've poured their effort and blood, sweat, and tears into this application for such a long time, and now you're going to take it away from them. There's a very personal element to that. So in this case, very early in the process, we had to align with the executives of this company and say, we need you if this is going to be a success. We cannot go into this replacing one enterprise CRM with another without having buy-in from the executive level that you're going to help us manage this change. There's going to be pushback and there's going to be pain and there's going to be a tendency to want to remake what you already have. That's a big pitfall in any technology project. CRM is no exception. You want to use your target application. If you've got great reasons for moving to it, that's fine, but you want to use that target application as it's intended, not rebuild what you've done in the past. And so the pain there is in helping people understand the why. I have three kids, and I can tell them to do something. Just like an executive could tell their employees, we're changing CRMs. End of conversation, right? No. What's the first question that your kids are going to ask?
Why?
Why? Yeah. Every time. Employees are no different. Why are we changing? We're changing because our business has changed or our technology is outdated. We're falling behind our competition. Maybe we've acquired additional business units that have other requirements. Whatever that may be, that why is critical. And it's only the second step, right, in this change management process. It's not just, yeah, we are changing, but and here's why we're changing organizationally. That starts to frame the picture, right? But then how does it impact each individual personally? And that's maybe a topic for further on in the podcast. But for this individual use case, in this individual story, the executives aligned very early on and said, we understand. And they were pressing us to control budget. and to control timeline. And the only way to do that is to make sure that we are using our application, our CRM, Microsoft Dynamics, in our case, as it's intended to be used. If we get into customizing it to do what you do now and your people are not willing to change their processes, the budget will extend, the timeline will extend, the project will become custom, and we don't advise that, right? We want to use our software as it's intended to be used. And that's more important now in the SaaS application world, the software as a service, cloud-based application world, than ever, because these applications are updated automatically several times a year. And the more custom you are, the more painful that can be. So in this case, as we got the executive buy-in early, which was great, CEO, CFO, COO, they all agreed, we understand what you're asking for. As soon as our consultants get into the project, they started to get a bit of pushback. And that pushback came in the form of wanting to recreate the old system. It's a natural thing, and it is art to avoid. And we consistently met with leadership and reiterated the need to help us, because it's a two-way street, this kind of thing. Any executives listening out there who are going to do a technology project, you can't put the entire onus on your implementation partner. It has to be a joint effort, a partnership, and this is a great example of that. So we continuously went back to the executive team and said, we need help, we need help, we need help. And eventually we got that help in the form of having this person relegated to a different area of the project. They're very valuable to the organization. They're not going to let them go or anything like that, but they couldn't really lead their side of it from a functional standpoint because they were so focused on doing what they've always done. And so we got a chance to break through that and get a fresh perspective from a functional lead standpoint on the client side. And we're going live soon on a tremendous success, under budget, very happy in terms of the final work product. In that case, it explains the need for a mutual partnership and executive level change management on the client side, as well as that guidance from your technology partner.
Yeah, that's also my experience, the need for being involved throughout the initiative is often underestimated, or maybe there's a hope that I can just be there on the steering committee once in a while, and that'll be enough. It's very tempting for people who are used to the existing processes to just ask, okay, this new technology, just make it like the way we already know. Yeah, it's so important to give everyone a path forward, a reason to want the new state. So besides new roles, what other tools do you have in your toolkit to facilitate people's, to facilitate change management, to facilitate the adoption of the 2B?
Sure. On the partner side, there is a lot of that, right? We are the experts. We do this all the time. So any technology partner's role in implementing a business solution, an enterprise business solution, or a small to medium-sized business solution, right, is to provide that context in terms of best practice. How do we see other people in your situation using this application? How is the application intended to be used? And this is a different thing than business process reengineering. And there's a fine line there where you really need if you need to take a step back as an organization and say, how are we operating? Are we doing it the right way? Our business has changed and we're floundering in certain areas. If you want to take a look at that without a solution in context, you really need a business process reengineering firm or consultant who can take a system agnostic view of that and say, here are the holes in your business that you need to plug. And then once you get that desired state in process, you come then to the technology partner and say, here's where we want to be. Maybe you run an RFP process. I'm not the biggest fan of RFP processes in terms of the best way to select software, but they can be useful as long as they're properly executed. And you go out to the vendors and you say, okay, we've baked what we want to be when we grow up, so to speak. And how are you going to get us there? Because that's where the technology partner is going to help. Now, some entities have business process reengineering and technology layer to them. I tend to like to separate the two of them to some degree, get an unbiased view of where you should be, and then go find the right tool, right? And so
once you have that desired state in mind, then you go find the right technology. You go query partners and you get demos and you get RFP responses and you get answers to your questions. Here's where we want to be now. We have decided that. Can you get us there? And so then when it comes to us, the job is to say yes or no. And man, I've said no in my 17 years doing this quite a few times. A good technology partner is not going to just say, oh yeah, sure, we'll check the boxes before they understand it. And a good story around that. I remember one early in my career, and I had been doing it for a couple years in terms of ERP and CRM. And I walk into a conference room and one of the lead executives comes in. I hadn't even had a chance to speak with this individual. I had spoken to a lot of other people in the organization, but still we had a lot to learn and we were there for discovery, right? We were there to learn about their business and to understand the degree of fit with our application. And could we get them to that, what do you want to be when you grow up state? Can we get you there? And so the executive kind of comes in late. He says, I'm busy. I've only got a few minutes here. So give me your 5 minutes on why I should go with you. And it froze me for a minute. And I thought internally, I don't know. And then I just told him, you know what? I don't know that you should go with us. That's why we're here, to figure that out, right? And so why don't you let us go through some of the paces that we're here to do? And then I'll come back and I'll tell you, either way, transparently, are we the fit? Are we not the fit? Is the product the fit? Do you need to go find another partner, another platform? Or hey, maybe you're right there in our wheelhouse where we can deliver success. Because the last thing that a good technology partner wants to do is to get into a project where they can't be successful. To help in that change management, it's got to be understanding the client's need and then helping them to use the tool as it's intended to be used, not customizing it for whatever they might want, even if the platform doesn't fit.
Yeah, if you're starting the working relationship with your partners for delivery non-transparently, you get sales answers. Yes, of course, it has to be us and we can do everything. It's just such a bad way to begin on such an initiative, because there is going to be so many times when you will need your partner to tell you the truth, to tell you that, look, this is not going to be that easy. You're going to waste a lot of budget on something that doesn't provide that much value. And if since the beginning you're just setting the tone like, I don't want you to hear any difficult answers, just give me the no, that's a terrible way to start. So let's expand now, as we wanted to talk about the impact of artificial intelligence technologies that have been coming to market. So staying within functions that deal with customers, so whether it's your customer service department, your sales team, etc., from what you've been seeing in the last year or two, what has been some of the capabilities that they have been looking to get now that there is additional technical features available?
Well, AI is still on the horizon in many regards. It's here, but the true final capabilities or what's to come are unknown to anybody. It's evolving every day. And if you go look at the roadmaps for the major SaaS software, CRM players, Microsoft Dynamics included, you'll see when you go through their update release notes, every one of them is chock full of AI. Microsoft Copilot is what they call it. Copilot this, Copilot that, Copilot for sales, Copilot for customer service. So the short answer is that it is completely evolving. Now, that said, there are concrete use cases that are emerging. And you mentioned customer service, for instance. You can have somebody enter a support case in a portal, and that support case is automatically created in Dynamics 365 customer service, whatever customer service application you may be using. I can't speak for others, really. I'm more Microsoft focused. But in the Microsoft case, the AI may suggest solutions right out of the gate with no human interaction. It may also help a human be more efficient at their jobs and suggest potential solutions for them, as opposed to searching knowledge bases or Googling something or going through documentation to more efficiently service that customer and more efficiently use your employee's time. Now, with that comes a little bit of fear on the employee side, and this goes back to the change management piece of, am I going to be replaced? do you need me anymore? And the answer typically right now is yes. Humans are still absolutely required. Now, can you gain some efficiencies? Absolutely. And one of my mantras with AI and the way that it's changing businesses is AI may not be coming for your job as a customer service rep, but somebody using AI efficiently may be coming for your job because they're going to be better at what they do. And so systems absolutely enable that. And where I see a lot of miss there is going purely feature-led in terms of what can the software application do. Whereas nowadays, I think the technology roadmap for the organization that you're partnering with for CRM is tremendously more important because there's so much that's going to emerge in terms of AI and how you can use it that a small shop who might have every feature that a door manufacturer, pick your specific industry, needs, and they can check all the boxes, but maybe they're a 10-person company and they don't have the technological foundation to take advantage of some of this artificial intelligence that's coming down the pike. I think that conversation has become less feature-led and more, what's your technology foundation? You've got all kinds of no-code, low-code out there. You don't need as many developers crunching through code to get you where you need to be. And understanding the technology foundation of your application is more important than ever. On the sales side, you can use out-of-the-box features to tell a salesperson, hey, Alex was interested in buying your widget, whatever you're selling. You haven't contacted him in 7 days. Do you want to send him an email? And that can be presented to a sales rep in a UI. And when you log in, it's, hey, go call Alex. He wanted to buy something. I could tell by his emails that he wanted to buy something. The AI is telling you this. And that goes back to change management, where we talked about you got to let people know, hey, we're changing. You got to let people know, here's why we're changing, and this, we're beating our competitors, we're falling behind. But the third part of that change management is, how is it going to affect me, Ryan, who's trying to sell Alex my widget? And so I've been doing it in a notebook just fine for 20 years. I've been managing it in Excel for the last 5 years, and I'm still doing just fine. But when you explain then to Ryan, if you haven't contacted Alex and you want to prioritize who you're talking to, the AI will help you do that. It'll help you create more sales. It'll help you close more business, and it'll put more money in your pocket. That's the old WIIFM, if you ever heard of it. It's one of my favorite radio stations, right? What's in it for me?
Right.
And that's as human as it gets. It is on a very individual level. Okay, great that we're changing on the organizational level and we want to compete in all those things, but what about me?
Yeah.
How is it going to affect me as well? It's going to help you close more sales and put more money in your pocket, and here's how. That conversation has to happen internally, because you're not going to have every sales rep in your company sitting on demos and making a CRM decision. You ever try to get five friends to agree on where to go to dinner? It'll never happen. That decision has to happen on the executive level. But then the executives have to push down to the individuals using the software. Here's why, and here's how it's going to affect you as a person. And AI is a big part of that. Every employee should want to leverage AI, because you will fall behind competitively if you don't, right? There could be someone 20 years younger with less experience who comes in and can do your job better because they're open to change and they're open to using the tools that are available to them. That goes back to that internal change part of it.
Yeah, there's definitely the pressure to remain competitive, to make sure that you use the tools to augment your productivity. I've also been hearing other patterns that benefit employees. I've heard, for example, quite a few instances or examples where we humans are not that great on doing repetitive tasks that require constant focus and to ensure quality, be always 100%, depending on the task. But if you have lots of smaller tasks at some point, actually the artificial intelligence can be an amazing partner before you complete the case or whatever you're working on, to have a look over the shoulder very quickly, give you feedback without involving any managers or anything. Just, yeah, you've ticked all the boxes that are mentioned in the SOP. So I think there is also other design patterns or other patterns of how employees benefit besides the one we've mentioned already, or the one where you get assistance when you're doing research because, you know, you're processing, maybe there's a lot of data to go through, like a knowledge base, and the artificial intelligence, of course, a lifesaver in this case is, and also when it's giving you reassurance that you've followed the process, that you've ticked all the boxes. So is that how you see artificial intelligence implementation in current business processes? It's around the current workforce. Or do you see that we're already approaching a time when we are going to have artificial intelligence that take over full functions?
I think that it's inevitable that artificial intelligence will take over full functions and then hopefully allow humans to get out of those mundane, repetitive tasks and focus on more creative, value-added type tasks. But it's important, in my opinion, to divide artificial intelligence. There's really two big groups, in my opinion. You've got tactical artificial intelligence, is what I call it. I don't know what the industry would call it, but that is, okay, hey, I want to write this email and I want to have AI revise it for me, right? Or I want to answer a question and I don't want to type this whole paragraph out and I'm not quite sure how to articulate it. So I'm going to put it in ChatGPT and let it do it for me and I'm going to copy and paste it, right? That is a tactical efficiency gain, right? Which is certainly an important part of AI. And you better be ready to do this, guys. If you're not willing to take this on, you're going to fall behind in terms of performance against your colleagues and your competitors. So you've got to leverage that tactical part of it. Get an answer for something, write an email, all of those things. Populate a spreadsheet, create a PowerPoint, all of these type tactical things. But from a business enterprise perspective or a C-level perspective, there's the business insights and the decision-making that comes with letting machine learning and AI that is leveraging your data drive your business decisions. That's much different than a tactical use case for an individual employee. And I saw a great cartoon. It was a couple guys in a shirt and tie, and one of them is clearly the boss. He says, hey, so-and-so, we need AI. Make it happen. And the other guy says, okay, what do you want to use it for? And the boss says, I don't know, but we need it immediately. And I hear that. It's reality,
it's not the cartoon.
Right?
It's real life.
And so we get it all the time. I want to use AI tomorrow. What's your current landscape like? We've got data in Excel. We've got it in Outlook. We've got it in notebooks. We've got it in this antiquated on-premise ERP system. Okay, you can use the tactical side of AI. You're not ready for business analytics and driving enterprise level decisions yet because your data is a mess. You cannot do it as an organization until you aggregate your data in an organized model and you get it in the cloud.
As we're about to wrap up, I usually ask a couple of questions at the end. So one is, what is a book, tool, or habit that has made a particularly significant impact on yourself in the last 12 months?
Prioritize your own day. Don't let your Outlook inbox do that for you. And this is important. I read a book called Essentialism, which talks about making conscious decisions. If you don't make a decision, the universe, so to speak, will make it for you. So if you come in into your day, most people typically have a handful of very high value tasks. Here are the things that I need to do today that are really going to impact my performance, help me succeed at what I'm trying to accomplish. And so you need to actively choose to do those, not start at the top of your Outlook inbox and start going through all of the meaningless stuff. And maybe you finally get to the important one. And a key part of that is turn your notifications off. That's what I do. Because what happens is, even if you prioritize your day, like I do, I've got a list and I say, here are the things I need to accomplish first. And I try to do those. And then I get to the less value-added stuff. If you get an Outlook pop-up, it's human nature. What are you going to do on that Outlook pop-up?
They're designed to grab your attention, of course.
That's right. And you're going to get sucked into something less value added, right? This is not as important of a task, but you just let that pop-up dictate what you're doing. Next thing you do, you're going down a rabbit hole that really isn't all that important. So I turn Outlook pop-ups off. I don't have Outlook open all the time, whatever email application you use. Most people use Outlook. Mm-hmm. And I work through my important stuff. Then I open up Outlook and I go through all the rest of the noise. And I think it's tremendously important. You decide what's important for your day. Don't let, you know, a pop-up or an email list do it for you.
I completely agree with that one. And the final question, we've talked about many things that are changing, of course, and change management to deal with it. But is there maybe one thing that you would expect to remain unchanged 10 years from now?
We talked about people all day. And I think the idea that you have to put yourself in other people's shoes and you have to communicate. My favorite saying is the main problem with communication is the illusion that it's already happened. People assume that the person you're talking to knows what you know and vice versa. This is big in technology, guys. If myself as a business systems solutions expert is going to assume that this CFO who is doing it for the first time in 10 years knows what I know, I'm going to miss most of the stuff. You have to start foundationally. But likewise, we need that same feedback from the organization as a business partner where I don't know what you know about your business. And I hear all the time, we're just like everybody else. We just want the basics. Never have two companies implemented CRM or ERP for that matter, or any other system exactly the same way. There's always nuance. It could be industry. It could be the way that you're business operates. But what would I expect not to change? It's that human element that we've been talking about today. It's the importance of communication and the importance of putting yourself in other people's shoes and understanding what motivates them. Not we're changing systems. It's my way or the highway. You have to go deeper than that as a leader. Here's why. Here's how it affects you. What are your concerns? Here's how we're going to empower you to use the tool. Here's how we're going to provide constant care and feeding for you to continue to grow and use this tool and help you thrive as a person. That human element's not going anywhere.
Absolutely. Ryan, it's been an absolute pleasure.
Likewise, Alex. Great talk. Thank you so much for having me.
Ryan reminded us that every technology initiative, whether a shiny GenAI pilot or a full-scale Dynamics rollout, lives or dies on three human checkpoints. A clear why from leadership, an honest look at process fit versus custom nostalgia, and continuous communication that answers each employee's what's in it for me. If you'd like to see how Ryan and his team put these principles into action and dig into tools that help you stay self-sufficient, take a look at their resources at Western Computer. The link is in the description. As always, we have more exciting topics and guest appearances lined up, so stay tuned for more tales of innovation that inspire, challenge, and transform. Until next time, peace.
Thanks for tuning in to Innovation Tales. Get inspired, connect with other practitioners, and approach the digital revolution with confidence. Visit innovation-tales.com for more episodes. See you next time.